John Huckenberry here with Majora Carti. You know, we report on environmental disasters of all kinds on this program. The BP oil spill, of course, was one. There was a disaster yesterday in Mexico involving oil and gas pipelines that exploded. We describe them often as accidents, but I'm wondering if these are, in fact, inevitable consequences of our dependence on fossil
fuels.
Yes,
and there's lots of collateral damage, unfortunately, especially with regard to people as well. And that takes us to our next story. Out of Uniontown, Alabama, almost 2 years ago to the day, a Tennessee Valley coal plant ruptured and sent almost a billion gallons of coal ash into a nearby river in a mostly white community. Now, that waste was eventually shipped to a landfill site outside of Uniontown, Alabama, which just so happened to be a poor, mostly black community. Now, joining us now is Dr. Robert Bullard, Director of Environmental Justice Resource Center at Clark Atlanta University, and who also happens to be a personal hero of mine and literally helped pave the way for people like me and many of my peers who are interested in environmental justice and doing local development. And we're also with John Allen Clark, who is a publisher and editor of the local paper there, the Perry County Herald, and also was raised in the county as well. So, Dr. Bullard, first, so happy to have you here. And I would love to ask you first, what is environmental justice?
Well, good morning. First, environmental justice is basically the right of all people to live in an environment that's healthy and sustainable and not to have things dumped on them that's dangerous just because they may be poor or people of color.
You know, in comparison to this particular coal ash spill, how bad was it and what are some of the environmental risks associated with it?
Well, you know, this was the largest coal ash spill in the history of this country. And if you're talking about, you know, the amount, it is, you're talking about mountains of waste that washed down the mountainsides, the countrysides in Roane County, East Tennessee, which is predominantly white. So the stuff is was considered so dangerous that there was an emergency cleanup. It had to go somewhere. And people said it's you got to clean it up and you got to take it somewhere. And I think that somewhere is where the story, media story stopped. And the spotlight was not directed on where the stuff actually ended up and where it was buried.
Right. And John, wasn't there some talk about this actually being of an economic benefit to Uniontown?
Oh yes, that was the chief argument in favor of it. Was, you know, the county was going to realize somewhere over $3 million off of this.
And, you know, we should point out the Environmental Protection Agency, which responded to the New York Times reporting on this story, says that it is supposed to ensure that its own decisions do not harm minority communities. It defended its approval by saying that the site was isolated, quote, and that six local elected officials, including a majority of the county commissioners, strongly supported, again, quote, the ash contract, which suggests what you're talking about, John Allen Clark, that there was an economic benefit there.
Yes, there definitely was, you know, an economic benefit, and the county has received, you know, millions of dollars, and they've spent it on certain things. One of the things we also heard was that this was going to create jobs because of the amount of waste coming into the landfill. Unfortunately, the coal ash shipments have stopped now, and all those jobs are over with. So
what's life like in Uniontown now as a result of this?
Well, it's pretty much like it was. Most everybody is still poor, and the landfill was there before, and nobody was happy about it before the coal ash got there. They're just as demoralized by it now, if not more so. And I don't think anybody on the ground in Uniontown has seen much benefit from the program.
It's John Allen Clark, publisher and editor of the local paper, the Perry County Herald. Robert Bullard is director of Environmental Justice Resource Center at Clark Atlanta University. Robert, how is this different from, say, the nuclear waste issue where, you know, it's a kind of a not in my backyard kind of political controversy that keeps getting punted from state to state and community to community? What institution would mediate these kinds of sacrifices? Because if we're going to be dependent on energy, we're going to have to put this stuff somewhere.
Well, I think the bottom line is the issue of where that somewhere is. Mm-hmm. And historically, the waste has actually gone and followed the path of least resistance. Historically, that's meant poor communities and communities of color. If you talk about nuclear waste and the analysis that's done and the description that's given, we'll say, let's take the nuclear waste and ship it out to Yucca Mountain. There's nobody out there. Mm-hmm. That's not true. The Western Shoshone has been out there for thousands of years. To describe, you know, the Uniontown community and the site as nobody there, that's basically rendering African Americans who've been in that community in Perry County since slavery. And so what we find is that the waste generally flows to areas that are politically disenfranchised and oftentimes have very few resources to combat that kind of thing. Everybody produces waste, but everybody doesn't live near where the waste is disposed.
Well, what's a more transparent way to make these type of decision? Yes, everybody produces waste, but some people clearly, generally the poor, bear more of the brunt of dealing with it.
Well, what we have asked the EPA and for the last, 25 years is transparency in terms of an open policy. There was no environmental justice analysis done on the Perry County landfill that was made public. We asked for information in terms of what other sites were considered in East Tennessee. Because if you look at the fact that the site that was selected is 300 miles south, they're shipping stuff 300 miles from the source of the pollution. And if it was too dangerous to be in East Tennessee, well, certainly it's the same waste that's in Alabama. So I think the fact that there is no public hearing, there is no transparency, and so the issue of accountability is lost. And I think the problem with Region 4 EPA, at the time decisions were made, basically you had acting people in those offices, the same people that's been acting badly for the last 10 years. And so when you talk about Region 4, those eight states, deep south states in the south, these are states that were former slave states, the policies that have been put in place basically are discriminatory and end up having black people host more of these things.
Who pays the cost of our dependence on energy sources? Robert Bullard is director of the Environmental Justice Resource Center at Clark Atlanta University. And John Allen Clark is the editor and publisher of the Perry County Herald. He spoke with us from Marion, Alabama. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.